This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Which is an insane stat, by the way. The fact that this game has never come down to the division in week 18. And, like, for as many incredible, incredible moments that this rivalry has brought us, and we'll talk about that before we end the show, the immaculate extension with AB, the Troy Polamalu pick six in the AFC Championship game, the list goes on and on. This is the biggest game in this rivalry's history since that AFC Championship game in early 2009.
You can feel it already. Like, yes. I feel like the intensity is building as we go throughout the week and leading up to Sunday night. Rodgers being 4-1 in his career versus Baltimore, playing for his career potentially. If the Steelers lose, maybe the Steelers finally move on from Mike Tomlin. If Baltimore loses, maybe Baltimore moves on from John Harbaugh. This has so much on the line, so many implications, and it's a perfect reason to have a blackout at Acrisure Stadium.
See, everybody, you're going to keep hammering that home, aren't you?
I'm going to try my best. I also had the alternative outlook on that.
What about a yellow out?
Yeah, because the thing is everybody already wears black to the stadiums primarily, yeah. is what I was thinking, what my one friend brought up to me. So maybe we need to call for a yellow out instead.
Well, there's a yellow out at every pit home game because there's so many empty seats.
Whatever we can do to help the Steelers win.
We'll do our best. DK Metcalf doing what he did might be the microcosm for how this season has ended up. Again, I think, and I don't want to go back and harp on this fan in Detroit because he's a loser and doesn't deserve more airtime, not just from on our station, but any station across the country. DK Metcalf keeping his hands in his pockets and tuning that guy out. And if that happened, I don't necessarily think that Sunday matters. Instead, it's the polar opposite of Sunday not mattering. It's the biggest game in this rivalry's history since it was for a chance to go to the Super Bowl back in early 2009. I think with an active DK Metcalf against the Browns, the Steelers win. No doubt in my mind that they win. That defense did everything that it needed to on Sunday in Cleveland. They held the Browns to 13 points. They held a rookie quarterback at home to 13 points and turned him over twice. When the offense only scores 6, that's an issue. And the offense only scored 6 because the best wide receiver on the team was serving one half of a 2-game suspension. The second half of that 2-game suspension is obviously Sunday. And this is why this is so frustrating to me. You go back and look at before we get into that, let me try to set the stage here as well as I can. Both of these defenses, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, are very, very similar when it comes to yards per game. When you break the numbers down, the Steelers defense allows 245 passing yards per game. The Ravens pass defense is worse at 250, but they're right next to each other in total pass defense goes, just like they're right next to each other in run defense as well. The Ravens run defense is 11th in the league. The Steelers run defense is 12th in the league, 107 yards per game allowed for the Ravens, 111 and change for the Steelers. I think the game will eventually come down to which run defense prevails. But the Steelers could have been able to combat, you know, potentially a big game from Derrick Henry with the passing offense, because the Ravens pass defense is bad. The last time the Steelers played the Ravens, Aaron Rodgers threw for 284 yards. And I understand that the weather might dictate what you can do a little bit as far as airing the ball out goes. But DK Metcalf, in that game against the Ravens, 27-22 a few weeks ago, had 7 receptions for 148 yards. Which, correct me if I'm wrong, was his best game in a Steelers uniform this season. It was. Season high in receptions, season high in yards. I don't have the confidence in the Steelers pass offense to be able to replicate a similar performance against the Ravens this time around without DK Metcalf. And that's not an earth-shattering take by any means. But it's a frustrating one. Especially when you look at the other side, and you might say, well, Jack, the Steelers' pass defense isn't anything to write home about either. No, it's not. But if you go back to that matchup, Lamar Jackson facing that Steelers' pass defense, 19 for 35, 219 yards, a touchdown and an interception. And you look at Lamar Jackson's 9 career games against the Steelers. He has thrown for more than 250 yards against Pittsburgh once. One time, and it was for 253 yards back in 2021. And in all but his first 2 games against Pittsburgh, neither one of which were starts in 2018, in every single start against the Steelers Lamar Jackson has had, he's thrown at least 1 interception. 10 career interceptions against the Steelers. So I understand that the Steelers' pass defense has not been that great at times. And statistically in the league, it's 4th worst. But a healthy Lamar Jackson struggled against that pass defense at home a couple weeks ago and has struggled against the Steelers throwing the ball his entire career. So you combine that with Aaron Rodgers, 284 yards, DK Metcalf, 7 receptions for 148 yards against a pass defense identical to the Steelers and passing yards allowed per game. I look at that and say, you know what? Derrick Henry might go off, but that's a pretty darn good way to combat potentially the Ravens feasting on the ground. That's obviously can't happen on Sunday night because DK Metcalf will be, I don't even think he's allowed to be there, right? He's suspended, so he won't be in the building.
Won't be there at all. That's something Cam Hayward talked about too, is he doesn't understand why players, when they're suspended, aren't at least allowed to be in the locker room during the practice week.
It's part of it. I get it. But regardless, he won't play. And it doesn't take a football genius to know that when he doesn't play, it ain't good. All you had to do was try and watch Aaron Rodgers throw the football to the likes of Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Scotty Miller last week. fourth and one to Scotty Miller, a guy that probably wouldn't dress on over half of the NFL rosters game in and game out. Let's chuck one up on fourth and one to that guy. But at the end of the day, if we're going to, you know, come to the defense in Aaron Rodgers in that regard a little bit, who else is he supposed to throw the ball to? I understand that that's a moment in which you shouldn't throw the football. Even with DK Metcalf and prime Antonio Brown, you probably shouldn't throw the ball on fourth and one. Especially with how well the Steelers have been running the football the last several weeks. But who else are you supposed to throw it to in weighty moments? .412-928-9370. What's on your Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? And I would assume it starts with a win on Sunday at home over the Baltimore Ravens. .412-928-9370. One of the ways that you could substitute to the best of your ability for the absence of DK Metcalf, and we've been clamoring for this all year. More Pat Freiermuth, please and thank you. That's a guy that has proven that he can play pretty darn good tight end in the National Football League, number one. And number two, you pay like a top 10 tight end in football. And on paper, you would think that Pat Freiermuth will get more action this week because, unfortunately, Darnell Washington is not available. He won't be available for however long the Steelers' season lasts with a broken arm. Three receptions for 63 yards and two big ones that put the Steelers on the doorstep against the Browns last week. But for whatever reason, that guy has just been omitted and cast it aside by Arthur Smith in this offense, with the exception of a monster game against the Bengals. Six receptions, 100 yards, two touchdowns, but everybody feasted in that game. And I think a question that seriously needs to be asked by Pat Freiermuth in the offseason, especially if he is absent in this game. And I understand that DK Metcalf played the last time they played the Ravens, and Darnell Washington was a part of that game plan as well. But he only had two receptions for 9 yards at the beginning of the month in Baltimore. And if it's a similar situation, even if it's like, as I look at his game log here, like four receptions for 27 yards against the Colts. He did score in that game, but like if it's one of those stat lines for Pat Freiermuth, four receptions for 31 yards against the Seahawks in week two, if it's one of those, Pat Freiermuth has to ask the question of what's my role? And if I'm not going to be a part of this offense, what am I doing here? And that sucks because I'm a big time Pat Freiermuth guy. He is, in addition to what I think, a really good football player, a really good dude, and somebody that, you know, championship football teams would enjoy having that presence in their locker room. And if you can't find a spot for him, especially after you pay him and extend him for what, $11, $12 million a year, it's a shame. So let's hope that the Steelers can find a way to conceive some concepts for that guy. Maybe Jonnu Smith as well. Calvin Austin, if he returns to the lineup, that it's not as big of a glaring absence without DK Metcalf and then what we saw on Sunday. But again, I'm not optimistic. 412-928-9370. Will in Monaca is now on the fan. Will, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you. How are you?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
Good. You know what? The thing that, you know, I listen to all these shows every single day. And the one thing is, in the beginning of the year, and it happened not picking up a second wide receiver, and it's looming even bigger now. But that was always been like talked about from
the
beginning.
Well, and Will, not to cut you off, because I want to ask you this question, because I think it's not night and day, but more of a glaring difference than without DK Metcalf in 2025 than when the Steelers were without George Pickens last year. I don't know what it is about the offense. It's the same system. It's the same coordinator. But in one game against a bad Browns team, the absence of DK Metcalf is more significant than the absence of Pickens last year, in my mind.
Yeah, it just seems like DK gets a lot more attention for whatever reason that was. And maybe it's just the addition of having Aaron Rodgers. When you don't have a capable quarterback to throw to Pickens, exactly, people weren't exactly afraid of the quarterbacks that we had. But now it's, you have a team there that really could do some damage. So DK's getting a lot more attention. But the whole thing just goes back to the end of the year and not getting a second wide receiver. You lose DK to injury, why couldn't they even consider that?
Right. No, I
at the beginning of the year.
I don't know. I don't get it. It's one of those things. And two, you know, you look at, and thanks for the call, man. Happy New Year. You look at what the Browns did defensively. Cover one, cover zero, like 70% of the time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Defensive scheme isn't something that the Steelers see against the Browns if DK Metcalf is in the lineup. Because, and again, and Will was kind of saying, he warrants a little bit more attention because of his skill set. Yeah. Cover one, cover zero against DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is winning those battles 70, 80, 90% of the time. So you'll get safety help over the top. You'll get double teams. And that obviously allows the offense to operate with a little bit more flexibility because the defensive coverage isn't going to be as aggressive. And two, an aggressive defensive scheme with a defense, and despite the Browns being really bad this year, their defense is really good. Their defense is the second best in football. So yeah, straight up man-on-man, Myles Garrett, cover one, cover zero, press coverage, all that stuff. Without DK Metcalf, it's no wonder the Steelers only scored 6 points. Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And it's 11:21. It's time to check out Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. Get a jump start on the golf season once this snow melts. 412-928-9370. Where is your confidence level with the Steelers heading into Sunday? And what's on the Pittsburgh sports wish list in 2026? 412-928-9370. Bo's in the car, and now Bo's on the fan. Bo, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks for taking my call. I think where we stand with all the questions about why we didn't do this or that revolves around Tomlin and his coaching staff's inability to evaluate talent. I think Tomlin truly believed that this was a historical defense and did not add a second wide receiver because they didn't have the money and thought if Metcalf would go out, they could still win games 13-10.
Well, those are the games, obviously, that Mike Tomlin loves to win in. And as far as not having the money, as it stands right now, and it doesn't really matter because it's in week 18 of the regular season, but the Steelers right this minute, Bo, have $17 million in cap space, which is the ninth most in the NFL right this minute. And at the beginning of the year, they had more than that. So there was room to operate as far as adding a second receiver goes. Financially, I don't think that that was an issue because they had the money to do it. Now, if you look at where they were at the end of last year, $12 million in cap. At the end of 23, it was only $2 million in cap. So they've had money to spend. I just think, and you go back to Tomlin and the way that they assess things, like you say, I just think that they thought that they were well off enough on the offensive side of the ball, and money didn't really have anything to do with that.
Well, they kept adding all these players that, like the Smith pick, he knew Arthur's offense and performed in it, but he was also in his 20s. We get all these Peppers is in his 30s. They evaluate other people's first-round picks in.
Yeah, but you talk about Jonnu Smith, Bo. He had like 800 yards and 8 touchdowns and was a Pro Bowler in Miami just last season. I don't think it's that Jonnu Smith can't do it anymore physically. I just think that Jonnu Smith, and that's a legitimate gripe, and I would question the fact that he's back on the team in 2026. But I think Jonnu Smith's lack of production and giant drop-off compared to his numbers last year with the Dolphins is just because that tight end room is too crowded.
Yeah, I agree. It's just frustrating. I mean, I know we all love our Steelers and we're all hopeful, but man, I just feel like we've been spinning wheels and it's the, you know, Tomlin, I think, would do an amazing job on the Wildwood Boardwalk selling T-shirts with his sayings going forward.
Or on TV, Bo. Thanks for the call, man. Happy New Year to you. It's just funny how if DK Metcalf, and I think it's this simple, and if you agree or disagree, let me know. I think it's as simple as if DK Metcalf plays against the Browns, they win. Even if they win 14-13, they win the game, they're in the playoffs, this game doesn't matter. And we are not talking about any of this. Not at all. But here we are. And if the Steelers lose on Sunday night, and I think if they do lose on Sunday night to the Ravens, it'll be in similar fashion to the way they lost to the Browns. The offense can't get it going. Derrick Henry feasts, and they lose a low-scoring one-possession game. And we'll be telling ourselves the same exact thing. If DK Metcalf did not react the way he reacted to that fan in Detroit, this would not be the way the Steelers season ended. Brian in New Brighton. What's up, Brian? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I think for me, it's just the continued, and it's a continued theme over the last couple of years. It's the coaching staff having the inability to adjust. Because, yeah, DK was out, but then by the end of the first half, you're missing, we forget Calvin Austin. And I think out of like, all the, like, they have 1,200 out of their 2,000 yards this year are between those two guys. So you're missing Calvin Austin and DK. Then
right.
Then Washington gets hurt. So you're missing that target. But then you would think just rationally that, you know, your next best wide receiver, which if you ask me is Blackwell, he would get more touches or balls out of the backfield. And they relegated him to chipping Myles Garrett 3/4 of the time. And it's when you play the style of plays, you have to win in the margins. And when you don't take advantage of some of these matchups, like, and you don't adjust on the fly, you're going to lose games in that manner.
And that's what seems so weird about this Browns game. And Brian, thanks for the call. Is like you go back and you look at some of those mic'd up moments with Aaron Rodgers and saying to Kenneth Gainwell, I forget what it was beforehand, but then it's like motion all the way out and run a go. And then that was the Kenneth Gainwell circus catch and touchdown. And then they go to the sideline and Rodgers said, draw it up in the dirt. And you think of the adjustments that they made on the fly in that game.
Ran from empty set, Jack, more than any team in the NFL the last 2 weeks. Like 33% of their pass plays were. So I think it worked for them against Detroit, and they tried to do it against Cleveland, but they would have been better off just letting the route concepts complete themselves and go through, because there was a few times just on that fourth and one play alone where Adam Thielen broke open over the middle on a concept on a drag route underneath. So I think that Rodgers may have been panicking for two reasons. He didn't have DK Metcalf. Then he lost Darnell Washington, which was a bigger deal.
Yep.
And then you're playing a Browns pass defense, which is nearly number one in the NFL, plus Myles Garrett's on the other side.
And with all that too, like Jaylen Warren has been running like one of the best running backs in the NFL the last couple of weeks. Those two touchdowns against Detroit, breakaway touchdown runs, something that Najee Harris was incapable of doing. He only carries the ball 12 times for 64 yards against the Browns. 14 for 143, and that's 10 yards a carry. That's, you know, video game-like numbers, but 12 for 64 is still over 5 yards a clip. Keep running that guy until it really doesn't work, especially when you don't have your number one wide receiver. And they didn't do that in moments in which they should have. Cough, cough, throwing it to Scotty Miller on fourth and one. One more call before we go to break. Brian in Valencia. Now he's on the fan. Brian, happy new year to you, good sir.
Happy new year, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to chime in. I agree with the whole DK thing. However, I feel like any fan that's been watching the Steelers for, say, 10 years and they got their heart in it, like myself, how can you possibly make the play calls that either Tomlin or Arthur Smith did in this game offensively? The defense showed up again.
You talking about the Browns game?
Correct, yes, yeah. The Browns game.
I agree.
I don't understand the fourth and one, the go ball to Scotty Miller on fourth and one. Half of the catches that Moose makes are first downs, almost, statistically. Why are we not getting Moose more involved? Aaron Rodgers moved the team down the field twice in that game in a two-minute tight style offense. Why couldn't we do that a couple more times? It's extremely frustrating to watch this happen. And, yeah, the DK thing, sure. But how do you call those plays and expect to win against a three-win team with a seventh-round rookie quarterback? It's embarrassing.
Definitely embarrassing. And, Brian, thanks for the call. And it's one of those things, and going back to Pat before we go to break here, Pat Freiermuth, I don't think it's that Aaron Rodgers doesn't trust him, right? I think a lot of the reason why Roman Wilson has been a healthy scratch is because that Aaron Rodgers is not a fan of what Roman Wilson brings to the table. But that's not the case with Pat Freiermuth. We've seen, and we saw it in that Browns game, Rodgers fire off to Freiermuth in weighty moments. And it happened in the Bengals game. He's caught two touchdowns and put them on the doorstep. A lot of Pat Freiermuth's inability to produce this year is because he's just not in the game in certain situations. His snap count is drastically, drastically low this season. And I really don't understand why. Maybe I'm not a football savant or a football guru and a big time ball knower. But I don't get the whole omission of Pat Freiermuth in 2025. Not really at all. Especially if you go back, and again, you just look at his stats and you go back to year number two in the league. Year number two in the league with a really bad Mitch Trubisky and a rookie quarterback that ended up being really bad. in Kenny Pickett. 700 yards. He only caught two touchdowns that year, but 98 targets, 700 yards. It's what he's capable of. But here we are. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. That's Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. What is on your Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? I want to hear from you. And a happy new year to you. I'm Jack Hillgrove filling in for Pomp and Joe on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.